We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal Boys and Girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, out there in the heart of the Midwest, Dan, the Pizza Man Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Good. I have some pizza inside my belly, and it was a terrible pizza, and I messed it up, and I still had 2.5 slices, and it's especially appropriate to do a spring cleaning episode, because I don't know what my insides are going to look like later. I had a lot of dairy.
You did.
Things aren't going to go well.
You did a vodka sauce pizza, did you not?
I did, and yeah. That's tricky because we're talking about a cream element or majority of the sauce mixed with, for me, it was tomato paste and shallots and garlic and all sorts of seasoning. It tasted good, but the ratios, and I think it was too rich, and so it's just sort of, it's sitting. There occupying space without contributing much. Kind of like Jeff Long.
We'll get to that.
Who now was the athletic director at Kansas.
We'll get to that momentarily, but you know where I stand on vodka sauce.
One true identifier of quality.
That's my identifier of quality when it comes to the Italian restaurant. And so I had an instance where we went to go visit friends and hang out at their house for the night, but first went to a nearby restaurant and I got the vodka sauce pizza. And let me tell you, buddy, going to that friend's house for most of the rest of the evening was quite an uncomfortable experience. Needed to locate the facilities the second we walked in that door, because vodka pizza sauce has never been a good combo for me, FYI.
the Tavon Austin of digestion.
Tavon? Yeah. Okay. Yep. Sure. Well, welcome
on that
back.
Note.
On that note, I am Ty. He is Dan. This is the Solid Verbal. We come your way twice a week here in this college football off season. We will switch up to 3 times a week as we get a little bit closer to the start. In the meantime, though, follow along on social media, all the usual hotspots. Check out our Patreon at verballers.com. We've got, I believe, if memory serves, another off-topic show coming up in the very, very near future that I still need to talk to you about and coordinate, because I think I have a good idea.
Love it.
Also, solidverbal.com is where you can find all the information for how to follow along with our podcast. Did you see that Apple is dropping the subscribe terminology?
So what are they doing? What exactly are people to do now?
They're just going to call it follow.
Oh, okay.
It's just apparently there is data to suggest that when people see the word subscribe, they associate that with having to pay money.
Too much of a commitment.
That's right. But follow, follow is something we do on Facebook, on Twitter,
on board with
Instagram. Yeah, it's free to do that. So
okay.
Anyway,
follow us,
if you will, on your selected podcasting app, Dan.
Would love for you to do that.
The show topic this evening is spring cleaning, and it's a little bit of a different...
Sorry, that's just my cleansing. Spring.
Oh, yeah, please. It's a little bit of a different spin on it. We've done different versions of the show over the years. We did a Marie Kondo show a couple years ago. I am not ruling out doing another Marie Kondo show as we get deeper into this here off season, but
we're getting further and further away from that reference being meaningful to a lot of people.
This is also true. Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. I enjoyed that show.
Yeah, it was good.
Our spin on spring cleaning today is?
We're talking about coordinators. We're talking about new coordinators, in some instances, new coordinators on new staves. Staves? Staffs?
Staves?
Hold on. I understand that the word is staffs.
Like calves? What was that?
But if a football game has two halves and we have two calves. Why are we not? Hold on. This is... Oh, I'm running for office on this platform. Should it not be?
Staves.
Should we have staves?
Oh, no. This is your Glove moment.
Moment. Please. You're trying to cover for Glove like it's not an all timer. Okay.
Continue.
The Free Dictionary says staves is not a known English word. Sure, I grant you that.
but why
I'm sticking with staves.
Continue.
As you should have stuck with Globe. You should have just planted your flag. I forget where I was going. Okay, new college football staffs in place. But so like for an example, Pete Kwiatkowski is a new defensive coordinator for Texas, but he's part of a new staff for Texas. So that counts. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth and draft, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 coaches, however many it takes to fill out a show. And we are going to say, and this is just in terms of not the best hire at offensive or defensive coordinator, and all due respect to special teams coordinators, but we're focusing on offense and defense. Not the best. So there are guys who are clearly a Marcus Freeman going from Cincinnati to Notre Dame feels like a no-brainer. I want to approach this in terms of improvement.
Oh.
In terms of looking at a unit that was so woeful or a team that was so woeful or disappointing that they needed to bring in new staves. You heard me.
Staves.
New staves. You say Mario, and that's...
It's fine.
That's
no,
its
just take your
new
own
staves.
Advice. Steer into it.
Steer into it. Or need to overhaul a specific unit. And I want the degree of improvement. So we're just predicting. We're just saying, okay, this team hired this new coordinator. My number one overall pick is this guy because I believe what he can do with this unit will be more pronounced in terms of improvement than any of these other guys with these other units. So that's the metric by which we're drafting. New offensive and defensive coordinators. They don't have to be... an addition to an existing staff can be part of an all new staff as well.
So what you're talking about is essentially value over replacement coordinator, the VORK.
Correct.
If you will.
I will absolutely say VORK.
Okay. We're going to play that game momentarily. Before we do, though, I guess we should just get this out of the way. We said it as we came on the air here, but...
When are you going to get your big pipes back, by the way?
I'm taking it easy this off season.
Okay. Breaking news!
Taking it easy right now.
Okay.
Jeff Long.
Fair enough.
Jeff Long is out as the Kansas athletic director. This, of course, is only a couple days after they parted ways with previous football coach Les Miles. Looks like here an official announcement is scheduled for... later today, as we record on Wednesday, Kansas has called a meeting of its own staff. There's that word again.
Yeah.
Long has declined further comment at this time. Look, there was an article that you sent me from our friend Jason Kirk that pretty much called Jeff Long out for failing miserably and continuing to be gainfully employed.
Yep.
We're not going to necessarily dig into Jeff Long's past, but... I will say that essentially hitching your wagon to Les Miles at this latter stage in his career, maybe with some skeletons in his own closet, maybe not the wisest move.
What I enjoy about the whole concept of Jeff Long, and Jason Kirk illustrated this very well, it was for Slate, right? Where he wrote
Slate,
this piece,
yeah.
it was like, Jeff Long hires known dirtbag Bobby Petrino. Bobby Petrino turns out to be a dirtbag. Brings in John L. Smith. It goes horribly. Goes to Kansas and, you know, brings in Brett Bielema because Brett Bielema wrote him a nice letter once the Bobby Petrino thing went down at Arkansas, and goes to Kansas, where he brings in, eventually it is found out, known dirtbag Les Miles. Alleged dirtbag, I suppose. But it's a very specific way of hiring coaches that basically never works out in the long term, that Jeff Long can be convinced to say, maybe this guy, though. Maybe this guy.
Jeff Long was the friendly face behind the BCS playoff committee for a couple of years, too.
Well, there was the BCS and then the college football playoff. Man,
right.
You're tired
Whatever.
Today, huh?
You know what I mean. It's been a long day.
You're making fun of Stabs. And yeah, he was the original chairman of the committee.
That's
and
right.
Talked about integrity.
That's the word I'm looking for.
And the like. So he's out. I am hopeful. And I don't know who Kansas should hire, because I think it's just kind of a doomed place until proven otherwise. And I don't know if that's an administrative buy-in, you know, if it's a money thing, whatever it is. I hope they hire somebody creative, inventive, well-liked by people in the athletic administration world to run the athletic department, because it's still a major, major force in basketball, and that matters. And that person is able to hire, with his and the good judgment of everybody involved in the hiring process, a good college football coach who makes sense for a dramatic rebuild. So trusting Jeff Long to make this next hire seem like, God, who would be the most Jeff Long hire at this point? Like, who is it? Like, would he hire Kevin Sumlin? Would he hire Houston Nutt? Would he hire a Bowden?
Like, Bowden.
It's something like that. It's something on that level. Yeah. So, hope it works out for Kansas. I mean, it sounds like we're piling on. It sounds like I'm piling on, but it's never fun when a team is just woefully incompetent. It's not a fun thing to say, oh, we don't have to worry about any of these teams playing Kansas in the Big 12 because it's not going to be an entertaining game. And occasionally there are surprisingly entertaining games against, say, TCU and Texas these past few years, but largely to just fully ignore a team in a major conference is, I mean, it's just, I'll speak for myself, it's just a bummer.
Do we got anything else in the news department that jumped out at you for now?
Not especially.
Okay. Well, we'll cover more when we do the show next Tuesday. But in the interim, why don't we get to our game here? So we are drafting Stavs today.
We're not doing Stavs, it's just coordinators, but I like where you're going.
We're drafting Stavs. And we are looking for value over replacement coordinator. So in front of us, we've got two links, both from our friends over at footballscoop.com, where they track such things. Coordinator hires, big time coordinator hires, offense, mm-hmm. defense. Let me start with one.
Who gets
that,
the first pick? Who gets the first pick?
Oh. All right. Well, here, I'm going to flip
a coin, flip something. Tell
you
me
get
when
to call
it.
Heads or tails.
Tell me when. Count to three.
Call it now.
Heads.
Heads it is.
Heads it is. Okay. With the first overall pick, in terms of pure improvement, I'm going to go with... Thank you very much.
Got it in right under the wire. Continue.
Right under the wire. I'm going to go with Durante Jones, LSU.
LSU.
The LSU defensive coordinator. Based on how LSU has recruited and purely based on the depths to which this defense fell in 2020 under Bo Pelini, I am under the impression that merely the average performance from everybody on this defense, the average effort and improvement with the benefit of more spring practice, more summer workouts, more fall camp, I am going to roll with Durante Jones making a large jump with this LSU defense. They hire, I think, a new defensive line coach. Remember Andre Carter from Cal way back when?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's their new defensive line coach. He's okay. With the Jets. They have a new linebackers coach and certainly issues on, you know, especially in the back part of this defense. We saw them get lit up, especially in the first part of that season, the 2020 season. So I think things get shored up with Durante Jones. He was a recommendation from Dave Aranda. He coached with Aranda, I believe, at Wisconsin. He was with the Vikings. His background is in the secondary. And so in terms of eye for coaching talent, both spanning the NFL and college game, and, you know, being some branch in the Dave Aranda tree, I think this ship will get righted. I think there will be energy infused into this defense that was sorely needed, and Bo Pelini was clearly not the answer. So I think we are due for a bounce back, a progression to where, not a regression to the mean, but a progression to the average place where LSU should generally be, given the talent on hand. Given the major new quarterbacks in, you know, quarterback movements in the SEC West, you know, places like Alabama, we'll see, you know, Auburn has Mike Bobo. I don't know if you'll draft him or I'll draft him, but a new offensive coordinator at Auburn, A&M's moving on to a new quarterback. Ole Miss should be very dangerous, but I think it's a pretty good year to get the ship righted in Baton Rouge.
Okay, I'm going as my first pick. Gonna go Mike Yurcich.
Interesting. Homer, homer, homer.
Big time homer pick here. Mike Yurcich.
Is it Yurcich or Yurcich?
I believe I looked this up a couple years ago and it's Yurcich.
Okay.
And at this point, if it isn't, I'm just gonna go with it anyway.
That's what we do now on the show.
This is what we do. But Mike Yurcich from neighboring Ohio went to California University of Pennsylvania, which is in the western part of the state. Has bounced around a couple places, right? He was obviously at Oklahoma State, Ohio State, Texas more recently.
It is Yurcich, by the way.
Yurcich?
Did a quick fact check. You got it right.
Thank you. Has some ties to Shippensburg, which is also a smaller school in the state of Pennsylvania. So now coming back to the great state of PA. And I like this move for a couple reasons. First and foremost, we talked about James Franklin seemingly having a quick hook to get rid of Kirk Ciarrocca, friend of the show, Kirk Ciarrocca.
Absolutely, of course. Doesn't know it, but he is.
Doesn't know it, but he is. So didn't feel like it was working out with Ciarrocca, and now goes to Yurcich. What I like about this move is that Yurcich has coached himself a pretty good quarterback in his day. I feel like he's someone who can bring a lot to that position grouping at Penn State. And frankly, it's a position grouping that has the most questions for this team moving forward in 2020. So I like the fact that you're bringing in a guy who has coached quarterbacks before, who knows how to run an up-tempo, high-flying offense. I don't necessarily blame it all on Kirk Ciarrocca last year. I don't think Sean Clifford was the answer at quarterback. I hope they go in a different direction this year. And I like starting over with a guy of Yurcich's prowess at that offensive coordinator position. The thing is, and here's why I think you probably...
Number two overall pick.
Yes. Here's why I think you wrinkled your brow. If I look at like SP plus rankings, Penn State's offense by comparison last year was not necessarily the worst offense in the world. Like, we're not talking a half team. We're talking about a bit of a frustrating team, to say the least.
No, they weren't a half team because they were just a team that was at best average. They were 60th in points per drive on offense, 47th on defense. So there was not one side of the ball that was dramatically better than the other.
They were frustrating is what they were. I feel like he gives them a lot of lift, especially at that quarterback position. So I'm going to go with him as my number two overall pick. Homer pick.
I think that's a terrible pick.
Great. Yes.
And it's okay. It's okay. Because if nothing else, I have proven myself to be wrong a lot. I mean, who's playing quarterback? for a dramatically improved Penn State offense. It's either going to be Sean Clifford, Will Levis left, not that that would have been a better answer, or it's going to be somebody with essentially no playing time or a true freshman or something like that. And so it's hard to imagine, even with the improvement that we saw at skill positions when the younger guys started getting more touches near the end of that season, near the end of last year, if I'm going to see a dramatically improved offense, I mean, I heard you say hope like 5.5 times. So it's a dice roll. You might be getting
these are all dice rolls though.
I think the talent level is high enough at LSU that, and the fact that they looked like they did, and I know the players are different, and it was a senior laden, an upperclassman laden team 2 years ago when LSU won the national championship. But the recruiting has been so high, and defense is so much more about effort to me, and just buy-in, that if early on in the season you have a group of guys on defense, starters on defense, rotation guys that are just not bought in and don't feel prepared, the season can get away from you quickly. I think you can get buy-in from an offense, but if you don't have a quarterback, I'm not sure how much it actually matters. And so that's
agreed,
the precarious
disagree.
Spot I think Penn State is in. But it's okay. It's okay.
It's
happy
okay.
to be wrong.
Go ahead. You're up.
All right. The pick is in. I think we should rotate, by the way.
Rotate?
Like our first two, my first pick was a defensive coordinator and yours was an offensive. So
Then I'll go defense next.
Okay. My next one is going to be offense. I'm going to go Grimey at Baylor. Jeff Grimes.
All right. Continue.
New offensive coordinator. Baylor has interesting guys on offense, and we know the problem with Baylor. I mean, it's been largely rooted in either not having playmakers or trying to run an offense behind a pretty terrible offensive line. Charlie Brewer was running for his life these past few years. Jeff Grimes comes in having called the number 2 points per drive offense last year at BYU, has an offensive line background, which doesn't necessarily mean anything if you don't have good offensive linemen. But I do like that background. I like how creative BYU was. It was a lot of RPO stuff, which is an offense that should be able to find any team free yards. If you can teach a quarterback, and I do think there's talent there between Zeno and Bohannon. I know they have some interesting guys there. It didn't work out with Larry Fedora. I think the Baylor defense will largely put the Baylor offense in a pretty good position after a promising first year under Dave Aranda. I personally see a coordinator with a mustache, and I see a coordinator who not only am I going to have a very difficult time not calling Frank Grimes from The Simpsons, if you remember that episode.
Right.
Look at you. You went to space. You're eating lobster. He calls himself Grimey on Twitter. So I can always call him Grimey. And I think that the year two improvement will be somewhat pronounced. There's something about me that actually likes when you have the marriage between a new coordinator and a new starting quarterback, as if somebody doesn't need to relearn how to operate an offense in game. That they are just everybody starting on the same page. Now, it's still the infancy to call back to a previous show of the Dave Aranda era, but I think there's going to be a floor jump for Baylor's offense that, as I look right now, Baylor's offense and points per drive, a Danalytic metric that I enjoy, 112. Mm-hmm. So a lot of room for a pronounced Vork from the Baylor Bears. So I'm going to go with Grimey. I mean, look, Zach Wilson's going to be a top, 5 pick in the NFL draft?
Right.
Hard to say, well, I hope he'll do for Baylor what he did for BYU, but he's been around major college football, Auburn, LSU. I feel good about Jeff Grimes and a creative enough, efficient enough offense at Baylor that they are going to ascend at least somewhat dramatically.
I like it. I do like it. Okay. What do you know about Vandy this coming year, Dan?
Room for improvement.
Yeah, a lot of Vork potential there.
Yep, I would say so.
I'm going to go way off the radar with Jesse Minter, new defensive coordinator for Vanderbilt, the youngest looking coach I've ever seen. He was previously the Ravens defensive backs coach, and he is going to replace Ted Roof. Much the way I have a negative relationship with John Donovan, former offensive member of the staff for Penn State.
Oh, and Vanderbilt.
And Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Ted Roof, Ted Roof also has some deep roots into the Penn State community. And last year, his defense for Vandy was terrible. Now, I understand it's Vandy. I understand it's not the easiest place to do anything from a football standpoint, but they were really bad. And Ted Roof sort of has a track record.
Oh, he definitely does.
Not really being that good of a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of room for improvement with Jesse Minter. Comes over from the Ravens, starting anew with Clark Lee, also a defensive-minded coach, someone who knows Vanderbilt, wanted that job. Clearly is going to be working very closely with Jesse Minter to try and build this defense up. If my numbers are correct here, and I'm not sure what your D analytics have to say.
Please.
106th in the nation in SP plus defense. Their marginal efficiency on defense last year was 127. There aren't a whole lot of numbers here that are in the green.
No.
Average third down distance is the only one, and blitzes per drop back is the second. Everything else stinks defensively. So a lot of room for upward mobility, working with a defensive coach.
So he was at Georgia State as a defensive coordinator. What did he do with the Ravens? He
defensive backs coach.
DB secondary coach. Okay. Because Michigan also plundered the staff of the Baltimore Ravens.
With Mike McDonald, right?
Mike McDonald, yeah. Different Mike McDonald.
Different guy.
But as far as we know. Banking on a Vanderbilt defense to take a big jump. Now you have the Clark Lee element to having your head coach, but we had the Derek Mason element. He called a ton of really good defenses for Stanford, and Vanderbilt's defense at, you know, early on in Derek Mason's tenure was interesting. I don't know if really strong is the correct way to describe it, but definitely interesting against some lesser opponents. I think the strength of Vanderbilt moving forward, knowing that the talent isn't fully there right now, is the fact that we have a full new staff at South Carolina, a new offensive coordinator at Kentucky. Georgia's offense should be good. New quarterback at Florida. Tennessee feels like it's full square one down to the studs. So there are similar boats in the SEC East. Now, Mizzou should have a pretty nice offense, we assume. We'll see. But it's not the worst time to be working in a new defense, a new team, whatever. As most teams, it seems like, are in some way rebuilding or refreshing and spring cleaning in the SEC East. So I don't hate this pick. I just don't know enough about Jesse Minter to know how I feel about his potential in the short term. So, all right. That's
huge
fine.
Jesse Minter
room.
Guy right here. Celebrate his yeah, entire
as
collection.
As you've always claimed to be.
Always, you know, the Minter cast coming soon to your favorite podcast app. Where are we going next, Dan? You're up.
Okay. The pick is in, and I need to select a defensive coordinator. I'm tempted to go in one direction, although I don't want to give my hand away, actually. So I'm going to go with my pick indeed. It's Tim DeRuiter at Oregon. I'm going to go with my homer pick here. Because of the talent level, because of the quarterback situation of the opponents on Oregon's schedule, Tim DeRuiter, seasoned defensive coordinator. I know he called a really, really good Cal defense in, I believe, 2018, and his specialty is linebackers. If you remember Evan Weaver all over the place,
sure.
And known to be especially strong in terms of confusing opposing quarterbacks. You know, always did well against Mike Leach in the air raid. So there is something about Tim DeRuiter now, moving on from Cal to a team, and I know Cal has had NFL-caliber defensive backs, but Oregon has recruited extraordinarily well on the defensive side of the ball, and they have 2 5-star linebackers. They've recruited corner exceedingly well. Safety's a bit green and a question still right now, but they've gotten pretty deep on this defense. They're good up front, and when this Oregon defense is at its best and was at its best under Andy Avalos these past couple years, they were not allowing a ton. And we saw it in the USC game to win the Pac-12 championship, just completely swarming USC up front and getting after Keaton Slovis. I think Tim DeRuiter will be a welcome addition. Oregon last year, because of some down games finished, I'm seeing right now in the points per drive on defense, it looks to be 73rd nationally in 2020. And, you know, a very small sample size, I think it's an easy move up into the top 20 top 30, like in the 20s. I think you can have a pronounced improvement there. So Tim DeRuiter, the pick to me, Oregon not needing to fix a defense necessarily.
Well, that was
going to
be
very good.
See, that was going to be my question. Much the way
it's not fully in the spirit.
Yeah.
But they do. But it was a defense that was below average last year. They just didn't fire their defensive coordinator. He moved on to a head coaching job. But still, a defense overall that needed to be ironed out a bit.
Hmm. Okay.
73rd, below average.
Fair. That's fair. Okay. Yeah, well, I like the higher as well. I think I'm with you. So, okay. What do I have to pick? Offensive coordinator?
You have to pick, you just picked Jesse Minter, longtime friend of yours.
Huge Jesse.
Give me an
Minter
offensive
fan.
Coordinator, a spring cleaning coordinator, Vork.
I am so tempted to go with this pick. I don't know anything about either of these guys. Maybe we could talk it through, but I'm going to do it. I just have to.
Okay.
Because LSU has hired the combo of Jake Peets and DJ Mangus, which really does sound like it could be an EDM band.
Peets and Mangus, DJ Mangus. Yeah. I mean, let's hope things work out better than, you know, any sort of involvement with DJ Durkin. So I'm good with it. Or, I mean, DJ Benga had a decent 10th man career for the Lakers, if you remember. DJ Qualls, if you remember, was he Road Trip? I believe it was Road Trip. DJ
yeah.
Qualls. Yeah. Okay. DJ Tanner.
Different DJ. Yeah. Deej. Yeah, okay. Just goes by Deej. Peets and Mangus could also be a Drive Time sports talk show.
Absolutely.
Steve Ensminger retired, and Ed Orgeron is now, I think, trying to recapture the old Joe Brady magic. And you see this elsewhere in college football. It's not just LSU. The staves are...
Well, it was also a Scott Linehan situation last year as well for LSU.
Right. He was the passing game coordinator, and they decided to move on from him. So Peets and Mangus were both added from the Carolina Panthers staff, and they worked under Joe Brady, who was formerly the LSU offensive coordinator, obviously part of that once-in-a-generation national championship season that led Joe Burrow to the number one overall pick. LSU was really bad last year. They were really bad last year on a number of different fronts. What? You're going to tell me they weren't as bad
as
I'm
No, I think that's
saying.
Harsh. I mean, we're still talking about a team that destroyed South Carolina with essentially a first-time quarterback and with weird circumstances to beat Florida on the road. Like, really bad. Their defense was bad. But I think they were okay, which for LSU is really bad, but I don't think they were a really bad team.
They had their issues at the quarterback spot. I mean, they bounced around a little bit because...
Yep.
Obviously, they had the injury to Miles Brennan. We saw TJ Finley for a while. We saw Max Johnson eventually take over that spot and do really well towards the end of the year. So, you know, they've obviously got enough to work with. I think the thing with LSU, and I know something that's driven LSU fans crazy forever, is maximizing that talent, getting the most out of it, the way they did the year that Joe Burrow was there, where they were just incredibly effective on offense. So I think it has nowhere to go but up. Last year may have been a weird year. I like starting over. I like kind of retooling the entire staff, both on offense and defense, and trying to bring some new blood in. I guess the risk here is that are they trying to find the next Joe Brady's?
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's a good search. If you are finding the next Joe Brady, you are finding a crazy talented coordinator.
They just need to get better in terms of their efficiency. The quarterback notwithstanding, this is a team that just, had to replace a lot and had Ja'Marr Chase opt out. And it just was a tough year to try and build anew after, again, a once-in-a-generation season. So efficiency is, I think, going to be paramount, getting more bang for the buck. If they can do that, even if it's not quite to their 2019 levels, which seems impossible, any step up in terms of efficiency, I think, is a pretty big deal. So let's go Peets and Mangus because I like the name, and I get two for one.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what LSU did, LSU, I have them as 83rd on offensive points per drive. So a ton of room for improvement. The quarterback room is in a great place. Miles Brennan, before he got hurt, was plenty good to be the quarterback of a winning SEC team. He was accurate enough. He did not turn the ball over that much. He was totally fine. He, if not good, he just followed up Joe Burrow, and that's a tall task. And you get hurt, and you have to start relying on green dudes like TJ Finley and Max Johnson. I kind of really liked Max Johnson. I thought there was some zazz to his game. Kind of athletic, made plays when things broke down. I liked Max Johnson. I don't know. He just seems fascinating to me, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, as far as Pete's and Mangus, obviously younger guys and, you know, experience in that system, experience with Joe Brady with the Panthers. I like the pick a lot. I think even an average LSU offense, given the talent they have at quarterback, given what they bring back at receiver, yeah, I mean, they can immediately get back to be a top 20 in terms of this metric. Yeah, I think that's a great pick from you.
They have all the tools that they need.
Yeah.
They have all the tools that they need to come in there and make an impact. Again, I think it's risky to even have in the back of your mind that you're getting the next Joe Brady's. But
sure,
I appreciate going out and trying to bring some new blood in and effectively reboot.
It's a really good thing to me. It's a really good thing when a head coach goes out and goes to people he knows and trusts and say, this guy isn't your offensive coordinator, or like, you don't have an opening at offensive coordinator, but if you did, who would you target? And saying, these two guys, this guy, whatever, Pete's and Mangus. I mean, if that works out, it's always going to be better to me to get a reference of a guy you don't necessarily know, but say to yourself, the recommendations, the references are there, and the track record seems to be building, sure. Because the Pelini thing, the Linehan thing, there is something that reeks of, okay, I did it this way. I'm feeling very confident that my guys are the way to go. That's how Ed Orgeron found Joe Brady.
Right.
I'm sort of all over the place there, but he went to Sean Payton, and he went to Joe Moorhead, these guys that Joe Brady had worked with. And like, what do you think about this guy? And they, like, across the board, they're like, he's the smartest guy in the room. So if Joe Brady is giving this recommendation, it seems worthwhile to kick those tires.
Okay.
So I like the pick.
You're up to pick what, a defensive guy?
No, I just picked Tim DeRuiter.
Okay.
I'm due for offense.
Offense.
This one is tough for me. This one is really tough, but I guess if we're looking for Vork, if we're looking for room for improvement, I'm going to select the team with the number 92 points per drive offense in 2020. That's Kentucky hiring Liam Cohen.
Okay.
Liam Cohen from, of course, Ty, if you're going to hire somebody, if they don't come recommended by Joe Brady, they better come recommended by Sean McVay.
That's right.
And that's exactly what Liam Cohen is. Somebody who's recommended by Sean McVay to Mark Stoops at Kentucky. The problem with Kentucky right now is the quarterback position. I mean, it could be Joey Gatewood. It could be Will Levis. There's a freshman in there who I think is probably better built for a more traditional offense than a more running offense, which Will Levis and Joey Gatewood were counted on for their legs a little bit more, it seems, in the past than their ability to scan the field and make plays with their arms. So I'm going to go with Kentucky. I'm going to go with the experience at receiver, even though it was not a popping offense. I believe Chris Rodriguez is back. This is a program that has developed offensive linemen. And, you know, if I'm going to be like, you know, every other person hiring offensive coaches and roll with the Sean McVay tree, so be it. I'm going with Liam Cohen. I'm going with Kentucky for similar reasons. I mean, we have rebuilding Tennessee, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. So if Kentucky's offense and quarterback position rises to consistently competent, and I like Terry Wilson, but he was sort of a 3-4 yard passer at a time. He was not really a big downfield guy. So if they can get that downfield element within that offense, obviously this is sort of how I ragged on you for selecting Mike Yurcich. Mm-hmm. Saying
that was going to be my next point.
The quarterback position is not anywhere near settled. But yeah, I'm going to roll with that situationally. I think it's Bo Allen. I don't know if it's B-O or B-E-A-U. It's Bo something. I think it's Bo Allen, who is the promising younger quarterback. So because of the skill talent. Oh, and what, doesn't Wandale Robinson enter the fold for Kentucky? I believe he does. So an interesting weapon there in a way that they haven't had, I guess, since Lynn Bowden a couple years ago, all the way back in 2019. Mm. I'm going to go with Kentucky and Liam Cohen.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I don't think I played the draft chime, but I'll play it for me.
Play it now.
Yeah. I like that pick. I also appreciate that you've left Don Brown waiting for...
So this is an interesting conversation. Continue.
Yeah, waiting for me in the green room. Don Brown comes over from Michigan. Longtime defensive coordinator for Michigan, at least since the Harbaugh era. He is now going to Tucson with Jed Fish. So I like the hire by Jed Fish. Jed Fish was... per what we understand, kind of preferred by some at the university, but maybe not everyone. So a mixed hire in some regard.
President loves him. Arizona, yeah. Maybe
we should rely more on what the university presidents think versus athletic directors in light of the Jeff Long stuff. But that aside, Jed Fish is the guy. He went out and he hired, I think, a known commodity in Don Brown. Don Brown, I was reading, gave some interesting comments to a local paper when asked about what went wrong at Michigan. And, you know, I mean, he'd been there a while, but cited COVID, the pandemic, for lack of practice in the spring. Talked about some of the upperclassmen that he had at Michigan, but the lack of depth at defense and how, you know, it just was diminishing returns there over the last couple of years. And it sort of culminated in a goofy year where you couldn't quite do everything that you needed to. I think he has to be better, just has to be better than what Arizona had previously. Now, here's where I do think it gets interesting.
Paul Rhodes, former friend of the Solid Verbal, was
going to be my point. Paul Rhodes was the former defensive coordinator who for a long time has been a pretty good defensive mind in and around college football.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
But he at least has that reputation. I like Don Brown. Don Brown's an older gentleman. He's been around the game for a long time. I like the move for him to go out to Arizona where they have not had a defense in forever. I certainly hope that Jed Fish makes that a priority. And I think Don Brown's a good guy to help him do that. So they got to be better than where they were, Dan. They have to be better than where they were. They were dreadful. Dreadful in every defensive category last year. I can't find any green on this chart. So it has to improve. If we're talking strictly about Vork, there's certainly a lot of potential to move up. So this is kind of a Vandy-esque pick here with I mean, certainly Don Brown doesn't have the name recognition of Jesse Minter, but he's up there.
Arizona finished 121st in defensive points per drive allowed, culminating in what was 70-7 or something against ASU to finish out the 2020 season. And it just, it didn't work. It didn't work. The problem to me with Arizona and Don Brown is, I mean, Arizona's hiring discount Don. If Don Brown were in high demand, he would have gone to somewhere bigger than Tucson, which is kind of college football exile right now. Middle of the desert, away from the bright lights of college football. Hope Jed Fish gets it going in Tucson for the Cats. You know, it's a fun environment when things are going well. But I always hesitate with grabbing a guy coming down from success to immediate. And now 2020 was very strange. We know this. This is the unspoken disclaimer at the top of every show in which we talk about 2020 games in the season. But it's a pretty strong quarterback division. Keaton Slovis and Jaden Daniels and DTR. There's talent there. And the recruiting has been so bad at Arizona that while I'm with you in terms of Arizona's defense should improve because there's only kind of one direction to go, I don't know how dramatically it can improve if the talent isn't there. The talent was absolutely there at Michigan, less so at Boston College, where he had excellent defenses. He is unquestionably somebody with an incredible defensive track record. I just wonder if he can be that extreme chopped defensive coordinator, like we'd like to talk about, top chef versus chopped, right. Iron chef versus chopped, you know, the greatest ingredients, whatever. Players are not food, but still. I hesitate. I hesitate here. In terms of year one, I think it could be like 122-99. And there's no appreciable difference if to our eyes week over week watching Arizona football. So that's why I hesitated. I like the pick because he does also have a mustache.
Yeah. Yeah, I like need that. The mustache.
Also, majority of his experience is in what the Midwest and the Northeast. That worries me a little bit too. So we'll see. We will absolutely see. So I need to go from what, Liam Cohen to a defensive coordinator?
Correct.
All right. This one I like. I'm going Pete Kwiatkowski at
Your
Texas.
Your boy. You can't shut up about Pete Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, that's me. I talk Pete Kwiatkowski all the time, co-defensive coordinator at Washington. Now, Texas, 49th, I'm seeing right now. A lot of missed tackles. If you watched Texas football last year, the effort, the injuries, strange season for sure. But I think the Pete Kwiatkowski hire could be super interesting. Because those Washington teams, he coordinated and co-coordinated with Jimmy Lake before Jimmy Lake became head coach. You know, the two really deep safeties. That Washington team was happy to let you nickel and dime them, but they were not getting beat deep. They developed a ton of really quality players in the secondary, even though Pete Kwiatkowski's experience is largely up front. I think that specific defense paired with an unquestioned talent level. I know secondary took some lumps and perhaps some of those blue chip recruits didn't quite live up to their potential these past few years. But up front, I kind of love what Texas had. Now, I'm not being seduced into your Texas is back thing, but I think the job that Kwiatkowski has at Texas is a pretty quick fix. I'm not fully in love with the Big 12 top to bottom at quarterback and on offense. I think talent-wise, effort-wise, I think it's going to go up. Obviously, there was a year of Chris Ash last year after Todd Orlando was let go. So that sort of change with a short season, a weird season, I'm going to go that full refresh being a quality, quality thing for the Texas defense. I think they can go from, 49th?
Yep.
I got to make sure. Yeah, 49th. I think they can get into 18 to 25, somewhere in there. Wow. Pretty quickly with him. Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to play it again, by the way. I apologize for
Please,
that.
Play it now.
Okay. So I think this is probably our last like one or two picks here since we're running a bit long in the tooth. I wanted to throw out Dan Enos at Maryland.
Whoa. Okay. Sell me.
This is a weird pick, I understand. And I am trading on Dan Enos's ties to the Tungavailoa family, essentially.
Tungavailoa, yeah. Talia showed flashes.
He did. Scotty Montgomery was formerly the offensive coordinator, parted ways a few days after, after the season. And then they announced that Dan Enos was coming aboard. Dan Enos has had a couple stops along the way. I remember, obviously his time at Alabama. He was supposed to be kind of like the savior of the Miami offense. That didn't work out at all. So mixed bag, but still kind of has a good name to trade on. And I think so.
I mean, whose name? Dan LeFevers? I just want to know. I'm just here asking questions, Ty, about these stabs.
Don't ruin this for me.
Wasn't Enos the guy who just left Alabama without telling Nick Saban he was leaving? Like, he was supposed to show up to a morning meeting.
I didn't say he was a good guy. I just said in terms of...
I think he refutes that story, but that is a story about him at Alabama. I'm taking the Miami job. Bye-bye.
In terms of being a football mind. The Maryland offense wasn't terrible last year. I think it was better than expected, but I think if Talia is going to be the guy moving forward, and given that Dan Enos has some familiarity there with the family, I feel like that's a pretty good spot to be in. There's always room for improvement at Maryland, at least in the early going now under the Mike Loxley tenure, we know he loves the DMV. We know he can recruit the DMV.
That's not who you're drafting, though.
No. But I feel like it's another situation, low-key, where there are going to be an increasing number of tools that he has to work with. So let's go Danny.
Is it Mike Loxley's offense, though? Is this it's one of those things where, like, I told you, we can't draft Kyle Flood because this is Steve Sarkisian's offense at Texas. So I don't know the answer to that. You took Dan Enos, so I don't know whose mind, whose playbook, who's calling the plays on game day. Maybe it hasn't even been determined yet, but that's a question for me with this pick. Also, I'm sure you have somebody in your life like this, or Solid Wife Kate has somebody in her life like this, that posts a lot on social media, every so often there's a new significant other. You're like, huh, I thought she was with the guy, dark hair. Kind of curly, no, buzz cut, blonde, okay. And that is somewhat emblematic to me of Dan Enos recently, where you squint a little longer at somebody who's just kind of island hopping as a coach. Just bopping around because, oh, not working out. Oh, they found out I was this. Oh, gotta go somewhere new. Oh, let's see if they care. There's something to me about that with Dan Enos, completely unfounded. But that's why I always squint. I squint a little bit longer at the people who pop up with a new boyfriend or girlfriend or something like that on social media every 3 months. You're just like, why don't we let something just play out a little longer?
Right. All right.
I don't know. Always concerns me.
Last
red flag for me.
Last round here, Dan, you get your last selection.
So who did I just take? I just took Pete Kwiatkowski. So I have to go offense. Yep. Man, I really could not find somebody I liked here. I was really hoping to get in with both LSU sides of the ball. I do have Mike Yurcich on my list. That was a late round flyer for me. All right. Man, okay. I'm going to go with...
It's getting a little bit tricky here.
I'm going to go... Yeah, thank you. I'm going to go Doug Meacham. Okay. TCU.
I mean, is he a new offensive coordinator?
I mean, he was a position coach last year, and he was an offensive coordinator many years ago for TCU.
Okay.
He was promoted.
I'll accept it.
Okay. Yeah. I have Bobo down here as a potential pick, and I have Chip Long at Tulane after a year at Tennessee.
Ooh.
Now, the reason
Ooh.
I hear you about Chip Long.
Oof.
I want to say, I looked it up. So Tulane last year, I'm seeing 40. So not an awful offense. Not a ton of room for improvement. You know, Willie Fritz is going to have his hands on the offense. But Notre Dame's offense did make a really nice jump of about 30 spots. And I think his first year was 2017. at Notre Dame. So that was interesting to me. I know they got a lot better in the red zone. I can't roll with Chip Long in Tulane. So I guess I'm going to go with Doug Meacham, former XFL, recent XFL brief coordinator. There's something to me about an experienced quarterback. I kind of love Zach Evans on the ground. I think his potential is pretty interesting to me. So if TCU is not turning the ball over, I think they're going to be able to, they finished 68th last year. So there's room for improvement with TCU. I'm not nearly as seduced by TCU as you are. You know, shout out
that's
to our friend
that's
Marshall.
That's been over for 3 years.
No, you keep, and then you come back to the season. You're like, they start 2-0. I think there is something about the younger skill guys for TCU that it's not interesting to me about TCU as a whole, because I'm still extremely mixed on Max Duggan at best, but I'm glad he was healthy last year and was able to play after his scare over the summer. There's something about experience at quarterback and those skill position players that makes me think, and I don't think the magic is back from 2014 or anything like that, but that's going to be my pick, that there is some pixie dust in Fort Worth to be mined.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Did you even consider it? Was he on your board?
No, I'm done with TCU. You know that. I'm done.
No, but that I'm just in terms of offense. Who else was on your offensive or defensive board? I had Brad Lambert, Purdue. I don't know if you want to make this pick right now.
No, I have. I think
Marshall's defense.
Yeah, I looked at him, if only because he's taking over for Bob Diaco.
Bob Diaco, oh yeah.
And has terrific head of hair, but I'm actually going to go a different direction here.
Here we go.
I am getting in on the baby Ravens, Dan. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, go blue.
In on the baby Ravens. You know I'm high on Jesse Minter. Let's go the other side of the coin and go with Michael McDonald.
Occur for girl.
Mike McDonald, as it were. He is the new defensive coordinator at Michigan, taking over for Don Brown.
He's a co-defensive coordinator, so you get two. You get Mo Linguist, too.
Oh, I do get Mo.
Yeah, you get two for one.
I get the full stav there.
Stav, yeah, yeah.
Mike McDonald is 33 years old.
Yeah, that was a... it's not that difficult anymore, knowing how young coaches are that are getting hired in college. Successful coaches, coordinators, position coaches, whatever. But when it's low 30s, high 20s, as I ascend to my mid to upper 30s, it's tougher and tougher. I told Jody with an eye, I was like, hey, Michigan's new defensive coordinator is 33. She said, he's 9 years older than me? And I said, yeah, that's it. Give me your Mike McDonald and Mo Linguist optimism.
I don't know enough about either of these guys. I'm not going to pretend.
Well, no, hold on. It's fine. I mean, they were position coaches in the NFL.
They were position coaches. He comes over from the Ravens. So Jesse Minter, defensive backs coach. In this case, Mike McDonald, a linebackers coach, had a stint before that as a defensive backs coach. By all accounts, he is a young up-and-comer, started coaching while he was still in college at Georgia. Smart guy, yep. Graduated from Georgia, like, summa cum laude, and was coaching at the high school level for a couple of years while he was still in school. So this is, he knew he wanted to do this to some extent, right? He knew he sure. had this in the back of his mind.
You got a Manny Diaz on your hands, maybe.
So he was an intern with the Ravens. He worked his way up and obviously now got this gig with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, for what it's worth, probably reached out to his brother and was able to get a pretty good recommendation here on what Mike McDonald brought to the team. To your point, though, about Don Brown.
Doesn't Jim Harbaugh already employ one brother? Isn't there a Jay on the staff? I believe there's a Jay Harbaugh on staff.
There are so many Harbaughs at this point.
Yeah.
Continue. But here's the thing. There's room for improvement on that Michigan defense. For all the reasons it didn't work out for Don Brown.
He's the son of Jim, by the way.
The Jay son of Jim.
Son
okay.
of Jim, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about Don Brown. I think we have a lot of respect for him. We love the mustache. There has been a situation at Michigan of diminishing returns. And so now to bring in new blood, They've got talent. Hopefully depth has improved over a year ago. And we got a young guy who maybe brings some new energy to the side. That's all I got. I don't have much here.
What a fantasy thing it will probably be this year. Young coach brings new energy. Coach under 40 brings new energy, new blood, new zazz.
Well, if we would have done it last year, we could have done the next Joe Brady.
Oh, yeah, easily. Easily. Now, the best, I mean, not even the best. I think 2 years ago, Michigan's defense was pretty good, a top 25 or so defense. And otherwise, they've been kind of a top 10, 15 unit under Don Brown. The concern for me is Don Brown's defense was so specific. And I know he runs a lot of things, I just hit my microphone. I know he runs a lot of things that a lot of teams run, but he puts his corners out on an island. He has the specialized positions up front. You got the Viper, which I think is the Jabril Peppers outside linebacker safety hybrid. And so they're very specific positions in the way guys were recruited to this defense that's now being overhauled. The good news for Michigan, well, it was like I said before, defense is about, effort and buy-in, whatever. And that's what leads to really strong tackling. It's just effort. It's just effort if you have the talent in place. And Michigan up front, along that defensive line, up front. Linebacker, I know, is pretty dicey. Secondary was pretty dicey last year. But up front, at least, with Donovan Jeter, with Aiden Hutchinson, there are bookends. There are interesting, big, beefy bodies to build this defense upon. And so it's a really nice starting point. I don't know much about Mo Linguist. I know he bounced around college as a secondary coach for a while there in a bunch of different conferences and then ended up, I think, with the Cowboys last year. So I don't know much about his reputation as a coach. It seemed like some of his defenses improved when he arrived. But the McDonald thing is interesting. I think it was certainly time for a complete refresh of the defense after last year. And again, nightmare of a year. But it was time. It was absolutely time. And you like to talk about Jim Harbaugh running his coaching staff and his players into the ground and everybody needing
staves.
His staves. Or just his stav. I am going to go with this being an interesting. I mean, they finished 107th last year in points allowed per drive. So the room for improvement is 100% there. And also, I just pulled up Michigan's schedule. Do you know who Michigan plays this year? I'm going to run through it with you, and you tell me when I get to a probably good offense, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. We're going to start with Western Michigan on September 4th.
Nope.
I'm not a big believer right now. And then we go to, it's self-refreshing, Washington. Pretty efficient last year, but I don't think Dylan Morris and now that Puka Nacua, one of the receivers they were counted on, just entered the transfer portal. I think he's heading to BYU. I'm not a big believer right now in Washington.
John Donovan offense?
John Donovan offense. Mm. That game's in Ann Arbor.
Next.
Northern Illinois.
Next.
Rutgers.
Next.
At Wisconsin. Can you say right now?
No.
I don't know what today, March 10th?
No.
Probably good Wisconsin offense?
No.
I'm not there. I like where they're at at running back, but otherwise. At Nebraska. Listen, we're now into October 9th.
Sorry.
Northwestern.
Continue. Okay. No.
At Michigan State.
No.
Indiana.
Maybe.
So Indiana's a maybe? Probably good November 6th. And by the way, after that is at Penn State. Maybe. At Maryland. Maybe. And then Ohio State in Ann Arbor for sure.
So are you on this podcast on March the 11th, 2021, right here, right now, predicting 11-1 Michigan? I think that's what I'm hearing.
I mean, I would be stupid not to. I would be stupid not to. No, I'm just saying situationally, if you're looking for buy low, they've recruited, I think, well to very well. Better on offense, it seems, than defense, but all the same, they've recruited well. The schedule this year is not filled with probable killers. So, I mean, how many actual offenses are you scared of in the Big Ten at this point after what we saw last year? Not many. And Ohio State has a new starting quarterback. He'll be good. Whoever it is, it'll be good. So I think pieces are in place to go from 107 to, 38. Is that crazy? Doesn't seem like it.
This is why we take Mike McDonald, Dan.
I can't forget. No, I'm loving him.
Mike McDonald. All right. So there you have it. Don't forget to write in solidverbal@gmail.com or by going to our website, solidverbal.com. Let us know your thoughts. We do have a Patreon where both you and I have been a lot more active lately.
Yeah. I posted a video of me making pizza dough.
Yeah, you posted the pizza dough video. I'm working on a little podcast video. It's like a how-to. Yeah, I got a little something in the lab here I've been working up in all my free time, you know. Been working up something.
Nice.
And
same.
We've also been more active on the Discord, which is a lot of fun, kind of in the moment.
This morning, we had a light debate of, what was it, AJ McCarron versus... Who was it? Is AJ McCarron versus Trace McSorley or something?
Okay.
This is what you do in March.
This is what you do. I played my game on Twitch. Did you watch?
I did watch some.
I lost.
How are you feeling?
Not good. I lost 31-28 through an interception with 19 seconds left against my friend.
Ah!
Gave him an easy three. I lost.
Sorry, Ty.
Yeah. But we got more on the way. We knocked off Penn State, and we got a game against App State, against Notre Dame, and then I believe the rivalry against Army to close out Navy season.
Things heating up.
So probably looking at a one-loss season if all goes well.
Can I ask you?
Please.
Was this a fun show?
This is a fun... It was okay.
Fun show. Fun show.
Okay.
Fun show.
Just okay. Talking about stabs was fun.
Okay, good.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for playing along with our madness. Have yourself a good weekend. We will catch you all on the flip side. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
But before we go any further, Daniel,
I have a request, Tyler. Will you drop that slinking, slithering, slathering drum and fife?
Ah, there it is. Hello, old friend Dan. We have two Patriot League games. Two Patriot League games to discuss. As you know, the Patriot League is playing football this spring. Let's start here with the College of the Holy Cross traveling to Goodman Stadium. High noon this coming Saturday to square off against yours, mine, the Lehigh Mountain Hawks, Dan.
Mine?
What say you?
Get out of town with that accusation. Oh, man. Do I love gambling against the Engineers. Especially, you know the Crusaders have been in the weight room. You know they're staying late after practice. You know they're feeling the beads of sweat with the prospect of taking down those Nears. Give me the Crusaders and give them to me big.
Look, you know I got to go Lehigh here. You know that I'm...
I don't think you have to. Who's going to say anything?
I got to go Lehigh here. Give me the Mountain Hawks. At home, they've had a lot of time to prepare to study the tape on Holy Cross. I feel good about the home team here. Okay, Colgate. Hello, old friend again.
Yes.
Also traveling to the great state of PA. Traveling just a few miles up the road to Easton to square off against your Lafayette Leopards, Dan Rubenstein.
That's what I'm talking
about.
How we
feel?
The Lafayette Leopards of both Papa Rubenstein and, I forgot what we called her, Katie the Capper?
Yes.
It was Katie the Capper, right? Way back when? Also a proud Leopard. The audacity of the Gators of Colgate to think that they can just literally waltz into, I think it's Fisher Stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Fisher Stadium. I've been to Easton, PA. I've seen how difficult it, like, just the noise. Forget the crowd noise during a football game. It just, people of Easton bear on top of
that's
you.
That's right. That's right.
When you enter the town, the, you know, the entrance to the town.
The House of Pain.
Clearly exists.
The stadium.
The
yeah.
House of Pain. Yeah. I'm going Lafayette in an embarrassing fashion big. Absolutely.
I'm going Gators here, Dan. You know,
oh,
just by virtue
coward.
Of going Lehigh, I feel it's required to go Colgate. Go in opposition.
You could get to either of these. Are there people allowed in these stadiums?
I have no idea, but I could probably just walk in if I really wanted to.
Which is preferable? Goodman or Fisher?
Probably Goodman. It's a lot closer. So okay. I'm not against it, Dan. I'm not against it. And actually, I should fade the music out here.
No, I like it. Okay, do whatever you want.
To the final matchup. There was supposed to be a matchup between your Fordham Rams and the Bucknell Bison, but
New York's one true team.
Yeah, that game has been postponed. So not off to the best start here with 33% of the scheduled games being canceled or postponed, but spring football in the Patriot League is finally upon us.
Yeah, where's that? Lewisburg, PA? That's where Bucknell is. How far are you from Lewisburg? Probably asked this before.
Probably about hour and 45 minutes.
Okay, so it's not that close. So that's not really an option, even if they were applying. Good to know. I'm going to focus on what we have instead of what we don't. And we have Lehigh and Lafayette hosting big games, I believe, both are streaming, right? On ESPN Plus?
Correct.
So if you need your football fix this weekend, you know what to watch.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.